I know you have been busy. I've been watching you post your times and arrivals and content from some of the town hall meetings. If you were going to distill down what people want to talk to you about when you have this, what do they say?
Well, the top two issues that people want to talk about is, first of all, they're very concerned with some of the gun control bills that have been filed in Springfield. That's something that, you know, I could have backed up town hall meetings end to end, and we still wouldn't be able to talk enough about that. People are very very worried about that. And then people are also concerned about the minimum wage proposals that are being floated around. I hear from a lot of really business owners across the spectrum, both small business owners and some of the larger business owners, are very concerned about the minimum wage proposals that are being floated. And I think that's going to be probably a big item that I'm going to be taking up when I go back up to Springfield tomorrow.
You know, it's interesting because I'm watching these gun legislation. And I mentioned to Terry Bryant and Windhorst and Severin, all the state representatives from the studio last week, was the vague nature of some of the laws there. And it was interesting because, you know, this gun legislation, I know there are some gun shops that are closing. And when asked, it's not so much it's not so much the legislation and the rules as it is the incredibly large fines they are citing, that if they make one mistake and the size of that fine, that is one of the things that's got saying, I'm done, I'm closing shop, and that surprised me.
Right, and one of the things that I've started to try to focus on is, at least with that gun dealer licensing law that I've voted against, I think, seven times, the time now is to try to figure out if there is anything we can do via a trailer bill to help protect some of our small firearms dealers in Southern Illinois. Really, at this point, outrage over that bill, it doesn't really accomplish anything anymore. I mean, I said my piece. I voted against that. You know, I was ticked off when it got signed. But what we need to be doing is figuring out how we can try to minimize the impacts, because there are, as it's written right now, there are some very serious impacts to some of our small firearms dealers in Southern Illinois. So we need to be looking at what we can do, you know, in a trailer bill. You know, people sometimes say, well, I want you to just go up there and, you know, and be, you know, be obnoxious, you know, take a burn it down type of policy. Well, if you have that attitude, you're not going to be able to make any changes. You know, the sponsor of the bill, the original gun dealer licensing bill, Senator Harmon, his politics are not my politics. Opposite side of the political spectrum. However, he is somebody that I have found to be rational, and if we can make a good argument for why Southern Illinois firearm dealers, you know, should not have to follow some of these really burdensome requirements, I'm optimistic that perhaps we can get some relief in a trailer bill.
One of the items that in this minimum wage, it seems a disproportionate number in my personal experience, so anecdotal evidence. I always have to mention that Paul's a lawyer. anecdotal evidence that healthcare workers and healthcare facilities saying, if this happens, we will have to let 40 people go. Now, the incremental nature of a dollar a year may make it more easy to swallow a little sugar, so to speak. I'm not so sure, instead of just going from 8 to 15. But still, this change in budgeting and what it would require when we have a known quantity of money coming in and we can't see more go out. I mean, we got to balance the books. We're not the state of Illinois. That's where that problem resides. And the fact that, you know, the cost of living is a different thing here than it is in Chicago.
Well, incrementalism may make it a little bit easier to swallow, but it's not going to solve our problems, and it's not going to change the fact that we're looking at, you know, we are looking at the possibility of increasing spending in the state when we already spend more than we take in. The latest numbers that I have as far as projections from the state agencies as far as what they're going to be spending if we remain on autopilot is we are scheduled to spend $40.4 billion with a B going out the door in fiscal year 2020. Now, that's above the $38.5 billion that we spent in the last budget, and problem is forecasted revenues expected to come in are only $37.9 billion. So we're already starting in a $2.5 billion hole in the state. And we need to be thinking about what can we do to try to cut spending rather than just allow spending to increase. And one of the factors that, you know, that hasn't been talked about as much with the minimum wage increase is the minimum wage increase would increase the amount of state spending that we would have to make, because there are some state employees that would be, you know, that would be having their salaries go up. That would increase the amount of spending that the state of Illinois does. And we need to be thinking about cutting spending right now. You know, I'm not proposing anything draconian, but what I think, you know, which is common sense, which we seem to have in abundance in Southern Illinois, but not so much in Chicago and Springfield, is you only spend what's projected to come in. So we need to be thinking about what we can do to spend responsibly and keep that budget number for FY20 down with what's projected to be coming in.
And that's why I think the comptroller's comments recently saying, look, we have to be honest about our projections. You know, when Mike Boss was a state representative, he used to always tell me, he says, we make these outlandish projections on revenue. We do not see them coming, and the taxpayer gets left with the bag. I mean, they're like the video gaming thing. Oh, we expect to make $2 billion. They made 1.1, but they still spent two.
Right.
This is
and
not
we,
uncommon.
We thought that we projected that we were going to have $38.5 billion coming in for the FY19 budget, and it turned out we only had $38 billion coming in. And, you know, you're going to hear something next that's unusual for a politician. I made a mistake. You know, they got me on that. Going into the last budget vote, I had three conditions. I said, hey, you know, if you want me to vote for this, there's got to be no new taxes, it's got to be constitutional, and it's got to be balanced. And, you know, the staffers told me, yes, it's going to be balanced because we're going to be able to sell the Thompson Center. Well, they made no effort to sell the Thompson Center whatsoever. That left a $300 million hole in the budget. So I'm going to be, you know, the way I think about that is, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm going to be very, very skeptical anytime they're talking about projected savings.
You know, but the subtext is minimum wage. The subtext is guns. The subtext is, I could go down the list, recreational marijuana gambling expansion. But the top mound of all this is profound change in Illinois is impending. Profound change, progressive taxes, 20-30% gas. The ability to get something done by the Democrats, whatever they bloody well please, exists right now. You sense this impending change. Did it start with the executive orders or just your first visit to Springfield that, you know, there's a new sheriff in town and they are going to drive this ship in a different direction, a great different direction than we've seen over the last 4 years?
Well, the Democrats absolutely have complete control of Illinois government. They have the power to do what they want. Now, it has been refreshing that our new governor has talked about his desire to have some bipartisanship, some working together wherever it's possible. You know, there's not going to be bipartisanship on the hot button issues like the pro-life issue, just different political views. But the new governor has said he wants to have Republican input. Well, now's the time. You know, we've kind of gotten through that first couple weeks, the first month where where it was the honeymoon phase. Now it's time to see if the actions actually match the rhetoric. It's time to see whether the Democrats do want to listen to legitimate concerns that we have about the direction that the state is going. But with that, there comes some responsibility on the Republican Party as well. I think Republicans have to be more than just the party of no. We have to be more than just the party of let's burn it down. And we can't be just Me Too Republicans, where we're going up there and saying yes to whatever the Democrats propose. We have to lay out a Republican vision for Illinois. That vision has to include responsible government, you know, not spending more money than what we have coming in. It has to talk about individual empowerment, giving people the opportunity, the power to defend themselves. That's something that that a lot of the Chicago elected officials don't understand is the reason we value our Second Amendment rights down here is we want to be able to defend ourselves, defend our families when law enforcement are minutes away. And the third thing that Republicans need to stand for is economic growth. The thing that I've been saying for years now is that Illinois cannot have a sound future unless people want to come to Illinois and create jobs. And we need to be evaluating all these proposals through that lens. Is this going to make somebody want to come to Illinois and create jobs? And when you're talking about raising the minimum wage to almost double what it is in our neighboring states, is that going to make people want to come to Illinois more or less? You know, I think it's going to make people less likely to come to Illinois when it costs so much to create a job. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, if I have to vote on a $15 minimum wage, I'm going to be a no vote.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, what I was hearing you talk just a couple of moments ago, that the Republican Party has to be more than the party of no. And that you had last time, I think it was the last time you were on the air with me, you presented, I think it was either four or five ideas that, you know, I replayed them the next morning at 6:20 because I wanted people to hear them because I thought they were good, solid, common sense ideas that Illinois has long since needed. Now, you prefaced it very early on. These are my ideas. I want to get to see them done, but they would require constitutional changes. But still yet, I think it's interesting when you talk about you got to be more than party. You know, you got to have some ideas about how to go about this. Whining is not a solution.
No, outrage is not a plan. Anger is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. You know, I think we need to present, you know, a concrete vision of what we stand for in Illinois, and we have to have some ideas for what would make things better. You know, this is my Marine Corps infantry officer background talking now, but, you know, in the Marine Corps, you're taught that you have to have a bias for action. You need to be able to, you know, have a proposed decision and put a plan into action. You can't just sit around and do nothing. And if the people of Illinois are given a choice between, you know, let's just do nothing or let's, you know, try to take action, you know, they may choose to take action. We need to make sure that as Republicans, we have a vision for individual empowerment, economic growth, and responsible government. And, you know, we don't want to just mindlessly attack the other side, but we need to point out how these ideas fall short of those themes that can, you know, those principles that I think the Republican Party should stand for.
I want to change the subject on you in just a minute. We're talking to Senator Paul Schimpf this morning. Senator, this story that the FBI was recording Speaker Madigan in his office when he's conducting business with a Chinese firm, Chinese hotel, I believe it is, and he's saying, you know, we'll take X number of percentage for every tax dollar we save you. You know, and the FBI has this taped, or there's, I think, a flat fee, which was surprised me at $3,000 or $3,500 a flat fee, surprised me how low it was. What's this going to lead to? There's an FBI investigation. What can you tell me?
Well, I really don't have anything that I know about that. You know, I saw the news story just like you did. My experience with this type of thing is you just need to let the investigations play out. You know, from a personal standpoint, I would be fascinated to listen to some of the tapes just because Speaker Madigan is famous for being a sphinx. He doesn't say anything, hardly at all, and he's a very disciplined person. I would just like to be able to hear what he says, how he thinks behind the curtain. That's what I would be interested more than anything else, because I've never had a conversation with the man. I've met him one time at a church service in Springfield. He and his wife were seated in front of me. I was able to shake hands with him, you know, wish him peace. But other than that, I haven't talked with Speaker Madigan, so I would just be fascinated to listen to those tapes.
Senator Paul Schimpf, before I let you go, the session gets to work. I think you've got some committee action tomorrow afternoon. Your anticipation for this week, Senator?
I think the Senate is going to take up the minimum wage proposal. That's going to be what's going to be consuming, I think, most of the debate, most of the oxygen in Springfield. I would expect that probably minimum wage will be first. Then I would expect the Democrats to look at the marijuana issue. When they're talking about changing to a progressive income tax, that's not something that happens very quickly. That requires a constitutional amendment. So I think it'll be minimum wage first and then probably marijuana next.